Vote for me, and I'll set you free. And with a little help from Diebold, we can control the results. Just a couple of quick program notes. On Fridays at this time, we often have a conversation with Assemblyman John Laird, the Democrat who chairs California's Assembly Budget Committee. He's on vacation and scheduled to return next week. And his Bradness, Brad Friedman, our favorite blogger who runs bradblog.com, he is kind of on vacation. He occasionally pulls into a motel and gets on the grid and then cannot unplug. I heard from him in Colorado yesterday, and he's trying to make his way to St. Louis, Missouri, and then on to points in the Midwest. But Brad Blog continues to post, and he is assisted by some very able people. And one of them is Mimi Kennedy, chair of the Progressive Democrats of America, the PDA. And I want to thank you for joining us today, Mimi.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Well, this is an important set of issues, and I'm glad that you and the PDA have joined with Brad and Velvet Revolution U.S. and many other people, including conservative Republicans like Roger Hedgecock, to call attention to this disputed election in District 50 in Southern California. And it continues to evolve, and today I want to get an update from you and from Emily Levy, who's going to join us here in just a moment. But Mimi, frame this discussion for us. Why is this contested situation in District 50 so important?
It's important because I think most people know about the machines being hackable that are run by computer software, whether they're opti-scanners that scan a paper ballot or whether they're touchscreen direct record electronics that just take our vote into the computer and record it. They can both be hacked. That was proven last winter. So the federal government and the state government in California issued emergency regulations with their faces very red, state red, and saying, oh my gosh, geez, they're hackable. Okay, here's how you have to handle the machines. Otherwise, they're not qualified anymore to run an election.
And that was Bruce McPherson's decision, and the way he operated from November to March this year was so murky.
Awesome.
And he refused to participate in the advisory groups that he had impaneled. He often was a no-show at public events related to the issues about these electronic voting machines. And then over a weekend in March, he issued the recertification for Diebold without any input from me or Brad. I know that much.
He didn't listen to you. He didn't listen to his own computer advisors. He's in exactly the pickle and has put his county registrars in exactly the pickle that activists warned about. We said that these machines aren't safe. They're not safe, and for some reason the federal and state governments that approved these machines thought that their certain security regulations would make them safe. Well, what those security regulations entail was being stored in a secure place once their memory cards, which are pocketable. They're a small size, like a memory card you can put in your computer to increase its memory. They're small.
Yeah, like a flash card.
Yeah, there you go. So you have to, it's in the computer, it's set for the election, and it's sealed with a seal, which, you know, you can kind of peel it off and then put it back on like a price sticker.
Right.
And it's supposed to have logged access. Like if you go in, I see a locked cage with maybe a video camera on it. And if you're going in, you say Mimi Kennedy is going in at 11:54 a.m. and coming out at 12:02. Well, he sent them home with the poll workers as he sent home other voting machines in the past, punch cards probably with poll workers, when of course it didn't matter. And when activists said, oh my God, you didn't follow the security procedures from state and federal government, he went, well, I couldn't possibly do that and still set up all the machines at 6 a.m. at the polling place. So give me a break. I'm trying to run an election here. I couldn't follow those. So you see, we have machines that aren't suitable for the purpose to which for which they're intended. In California code, it says that the machines must be before you even go about certifying them. So one could put that blame in Bruce McPherson's office. But the fact is, the buck stops at the registrar. He didn't secure them. He didn't follow the emergency procedures. And he said, I can't. Well, we're looking at a November election with 80% of the country voting on hackable voting machines. And if every county registrar gets to say, I had to send them home with the poll worker who signed up for to volunteer, then what we've got is no holds barred, a fraud. You've got, you went on vacation, you left every door in your house open. And you're surprised when you get back and the television's gone?
Yeah. And Mimi Kennedy, is this about the outcome of the election? Do you believe Francine Busby won? And do you believe that this election has been stolen? Or is this much more an issue of principle that you don't want to see these kind of problems repeated?
You know, I'd have to say it's both. The reason I think maybe she did win, I think there's been a sea change in this country and it just hasn't shown up at the polls because of manipulation. But that's just an opinion and a belief that's faith-based. I can't really point to the evidence, as my opponents so gleefully say that I can't. However, it's the voter's intent that is compromised. So I say it's important not because I believe that a Democrat won. It's important because my friends and neighbors, my fellow citizens in California, voted down in San Diego, and we don't know what their intent was. So, yeah, number one is important. And number two, it's important to hold the registrar accountable to his violation of the law, because if we don't do that, then we've got the wild, wild west. We have no way to find out the voter's intent. We have no way to know how our friends and neighbors are voting, because we think we hear one thing at the supermarket or in church or synagogue, and then we think, oh, you know, things are changing. I didn't used to agree with that person, and now seems we can come to some consensus. And all of a sudden the polls show, no, everything's the same. Nothing has changed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm angry about that. And so it's important. Yeah, I think she won. Can't prove it. Well, I would like to know. I'd like to know the voter's intent. I would like it proved that Bill Bray won. But so far it hasn't been proven. These hackable machines say that he won.
Mm-hmm.
We have to count the votes to know that he won.
I was looking at Brad's blog earlier today, and there's a quote from Elizabeth Edwards, the wife of the senator who was the vice presidential nominee of the Democrats in 2004. And she's gone public in a new book with his comments on the day after the election.
Mm.
And he wanted to continue to contest, and Kerry and Shrum and the team said no. And to me, this is a pattern that cannot continue. The Democrats seem to simply accept the published result the day after the election and move on. And here in District 50, Mimi, we had a narrow gap. The reported tally the day after the election was Bill Bray by 4,732 votes out of, what, about 60,000 cast? So that's a significant number. And at the time, there was a large number of uncounted ballots, and the election could not have been finalized or certified at that point. And the Democrats, for the most part, have simply walked away. Francine Busby herself has refused Brad's entreaties to go public and ask for an honest evaluation of this election.
You know, Peter, you really, this is, I didn't know it was 4,700. I had heard 7,000.
No, 7,000 was the final tally, but the day after the election, the gap was only 4,700.
And Bill Bray was called to Washington, and in an unofficial photo op theatrical ceremony, it was pure theater, he was installed in that House seat. And you're right, the Democrats walk away. Now, why do they walk away? I don't know, except for as a PDAer, I know that there is a struggle going on for the soul of the Democratic Party. Now, Francine Busby was not particularly, she had not aligned with PDA or anybody pushing the envelope in the Democratic Party. And what is missing me the most now is I've heard Democrats argue on progressive radio stations, well, the Democrat, Busby wasn't a good enough candidate. So she didn't get out her own base. They're doing the cover story for the Republicans. She won, I do believe, and she was fine. We'd love to see her in the House of Representatives. And more on Republican talking points later, but here was a cover story published in the L.A. Times as an op-ed piece on the front of the Sunday Current section, which is our op-ed section.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Hamburger and Peter Walston. Tom Hamburger is a White House press correspondent for the L.A. Times, and Peter Walston's an investigative news reporter. Completely unsourced. In other words, there was no spokesperson named in this thing. Here's the story they floated, that 4 days before the election, Republican strategists in Washington met. They were worried. More Democratic absentee ballots had come into the San Diego Registrar's office than Republican. They dispatched activists pouring into San Diego County, and by Election Day, there were 10,000 more GOP ballots than Democrat. Now, if you don't get out the vote, and that meeting was in Washington 4 days before the election, they had to have a heck of a travel agent because they got an awful lot of people on airplanes to get to San Diego by, say, Saturday morning. And then you go knocking on doors and you get 3,000 people a day who have nothing better to do than answer their door, fill out their absentee ballot, and give it to you. And then you keep running it down to the registrar's office, or you get them on their cell phone and you get them to fill it out and mail it special on Saturday night. You know, I can't see it. So 10,000 ballots is what they said they produced in the last 3 days, and the margin was 7,000.
Right. I got to take a break. We'll continue in just a moment with Mimi Kennedy, chair of the Progressive Democrats of America. We're going to be joined by Emily Levy in just a moment. She's hot on the case there in District 50 in Southern California. And we'll take your phone calls, too, at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the news, KRXA 540.
The Monterey County Democrats invite all KRXA listeners to join them this Saturday from noon to 3 at the Democratic Reunion and Voter Registration Drive Kickoff Picnic. The drive and picnic will take place at Natividad Creek Park, 1395 Nogal Drive in Salinas. This is a unique opportunity to meet with your elected leaders, candidates, and special guests in a casual setting while enjoying free food and fun. RSVP to 1-866-679-3367 or browse to www.democrats.org.
This week on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, meet Mike Serrari of the National Wealth Builders as he talks about the San Francisco Overseas Property Expo, August 4th, 5th, and 6th at the Hilton San Francisco. It's being presented by Live Well Magazine and the National Wealth Builders. If you've ever wanted to know about investing in beautiful locations like Europe, the Caribbean, the Bahamas, and Africa, this is the place to be. Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, heard every Sunday morning at 10. For more information, call 408-892-3376.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Good afternoon. I'm Larry Olson with KRXA 540. Traffic is brought to you by...
Got the Peter B. Collins Show blaring out of your speakers. And I got to be careful here. I got a Rolling Stones song for you called Sweet Neocon. There's some language issues that could get me in trouble with the FCC. Go ahead, Mick.
You call yourself a Christian. I think that you're a hypocrite.
Now, what rhymes with hypocrite?
You say you are a patriot.
Well, Bush knows. Just leave the microphone open and you'll hear it. As we mentioned, his Bradness Brad Friedman's on the road, and we continue our coverage of the contested, disputed election in District 50 in Southern California. Duke Cunningham went to the slammer after admitting being bribed over $2.5 million they funneled in his direction. And in the seat to replace him just for the short rest of his term, Brian Bilbray was named the winner. And there are many issues there relating to the security of the machines. You've heard Brad talk about the sleepovers that occurred. And Mimi Kennedy is with us, chair of the Progressive Democrats of America. And you may also know her. She was Abby, Dharma's mom on Dharma and Greg. And I really applaud your activism. Mike Farrell was on our show the other day. And I really appreciate it when people with your kind of visibility put yourselves on the line and fight for political issues that you believe in. And Mimi, I thank you for the work that you've been doing.
Oh, you're welcome, Peter. You know, my father, who was a Republican lawyer, and his stepfather had been a Republican judge, but he was he walked the precinct in the day, and he would take me with him as a little girl. So I thought of it as pretty exciting stuff, like, you know, Halloween. Scary, yeah, but trick-or-treat. But, I didn't pay attention, and then the Vietnam War came along, and I was at Smith College with the president's daughter at that time, and I remember thinking, this is not right, and Republicans at that point became, as far as I was concerned, the war party. I haven't seen much to change my mind.
Are you still in touch with Trisha Nixon?
What?
Are you still in touch with Trisha Nixon?
It wasn't Trisha, it was Julie.
Oh,
no,
Julie
I'm not
was there.
In touch. But ironically, her husband, David Eisenhower, was a fraternity brother of my husband.
Oh, my.
So it gets very... But what divides the parties at this point, to me, is their willingness to use violence to settle the world's problems. And there is a lot of, there's global warming, there's nuclear weapons around, and I'm sick and tired of it, and Americans are losing their jobs, we don't have health care, and I think that we should not have had this last 6 years, and I cannot believe that my vote and my neighbors' votes and my fellow citizens' votes were shifted and suppressed, and I'm pretty angry about it.
Yeah. Well, thank you for going public. Dave joins us from Humboldt this afternoon. Hello, Dave. You're on with Peter B. and Mimi Kennedy.
Hey, thank you for having me on. Peter, I don't know if you recall this specifically, but on June 6th, the day of the election you're discussing in San Diego, here in Humboldt County, the group that I work with, the Voter Confidence Committee, we held a press conference before the polls even closed, and we said that we do not accept the results of this election being conducted on secret and illegal vote counting machines. And what we did specifically was to challenge the media not to report what they can't prove. The voting is unverifiable, not just to the public, but to the media as well. And, Peter, you have an incredible opportunity to help us make this point and to speak to the media community, if this makes sense to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm happy to carry that water.
You should know, too, we are carrying this forward from that date, you know, June 6th. We kind of launched this new campaign tactic, and now we have on September 21st the first in what I think is going to turn out to be a series of community forums on media accountability. Mm. And all the local media decision makers, and you may know that the Humboldt media community is not like your major major metro areas. We've got a lot of newspapers here all competing. And so, you know, topics like this get into the paper all the time. And so these players are all going to come together. We're going to have an opportunity for the people in the community to basically redefine what is required of the media to be considered credible.
I hope you alert PDA about that. I'd love to be able to get that out to our list and make sure that we support that. That sounds fantastic.
You got it.
All right, Dave, and stay in touch with me. You got my email, peter@peterbcollins.com. So send me information, and we'll make sure people hear about it.
You got it.
All right, thanks for joining us. Emily Levy joins us now, and she's going to be with us for the remainder of this hour. She's an activist with California Election Protection Network and the California 50 Action Group. Emily, welcome to our program.
Thank you.
We talked the other day with attorney Paul Leto, who has been retained by the group that's challenging the results of 50. And I was very impressed with the work he did in Washington State, investigating that very close gubernatorial election that ultimately went to Christine Gregoire. And he seems very well equipped to take this on. Emily, in the next half hour, I'd like you to update us on the legal efforts and the extent to which Michael Haas, the Registrar of Voters, is cooperating or not. And Mimi Kennedy, before you leave us, I just wanted to know if you feel that there has been any expansion of the groups and organizations supporting this challenge to the results in District 50.
Yes, I think there absolutely has. And people are educated what the issue is here. They can't help but support it because everyone knows there's a rule of law. And if people can pick and choose what laws they'll follow, particularly in running our elections, then Republican, Democrat, Green, Libertarian, all of us and our voices are pretty much silenced.
Okay. And what other groups have come in recently?
Well, the DNC, as you know, which is fairly conservative and doesn't like to push the envelope, they called for a hand count. And they're making election protection at this point much more central because they understand they cannot ask the voters for all their energy and all their money and all their support and then fail to protect their votes at the ballot box.
Mimi, thank you for joining us today. Let's talk again soon.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Mimi Kennedy from PDA, Progressive Democrats of America. Emily Levy will stay with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Stay tuned.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Kia Sedona, a seven-passenger minivan with three rows of seats. With a low price and generous warranties, Kia is getting more competitive with Japanese and American car makers. The Sedona has a 3.8-liter fuel-injected six-cylinder engine and a five-speed automatic with average power and acceleration. It passed our grueling hill climb test with no problem. It's roomy inside, and the third seat folds flat for cargo, but wouldn't be comfortable for an all-day trip. My demo has AC and power locks, but it's not loaded with accessories or leather. By the numbers, the 2006 Kia Sedona minivan gets 18 mpg in the city, 25 miles to the gallon on the highway, and stickers in California for about $24,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820. Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with great news. I have a new time slot. Reality Radio can be heard every Saturday afternoon now from 4 to 5, so keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. With me, Sheila Gale, number one in Reality Radio. There's nothing we won't talk about. Saturdays, 4 to 5 p.m., sponsored in part by Primerica Financial Services. Call Joe and Phyllis at the Marina office for your free consultation. See you Saturday on KRXA.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. And we continue our conversation about the dispute over the results in District 50's special congressional election this past June 6. Emily Levy is an activist with the California Election Protection Network and the California 50 Action Group, and she's been pretty active fighting nuclear power and many other issues over the years. Emily, thank you for being a great citizen and using your rights effectively, and thanks for joining us here today.
I'm glad to be here.
So tell me a little bit. I understand today was a deadline day to file some documents with I'm not clear on whether it's with the registrar, Michael Haas, or with a court in San Diego. So bring us up to speed on what's happened over the last few days since Paul Leto came on as counsel, and what the strategy is and what's happened so far.
Well, what is happening is that there will be a press conference on Monday announcing the filing of an election contest, and so that is in court. It's not with Michael Haas at the ROV's office.
And so this contest is not the same as the request for a hand count that was made by Ms. Jacobson.
Exactly.
Okay, so these are separate tracks.
Yes.
And does the hand count issue remain unresolved?
Well, at this point, Barbara Gail Jacobson and the attorneys and others are trying to figure out what the next steps are in that, because it was handled in a really funky way, frankly. The first thing was that they are charging an exorbitant amount of money for the hand count. They estimate $150,000, which is much higher per vote than what's been charged in other counties. And they're really only allowed to charge their actual expenses. And she was told that she had to pay $6,000 for the first day of the count, even though the expenses for that day would have been much lower because there were some paperwork issues that needed to be worked out before the counting began, so they wouldn't have to actually be paying counters for that day.
And can I just re-describe what you just said?
Sure.
Michael Haas has created an economic barrier to an honest count of the votes.
Exactly.
Okay.
There you go. Well put. And that's only one of the barriers that he's created. We've also been submitting public records requests. Various people have submitted them, and they're not giving us a lot of the records that we've requested. We have a legal right to get them in electronic format so that we can put them into databases into spreadsheets and analyze them. And they haven't come forward with much of anything electronically yet. And then the things that they are giving to us, they're giving us in formats that seem to be specifically designed to make them hard to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all kinds of obstruction going on.
Yeah. And has Michael Haas made any explicit statement that he opposes this hand count, that he doesn't want to do it, and therefore he's going to make it as difficult as possible? Or does he just smile and, basically create these barriers that we just described?
Well, I can't say whether he's made a specific statement about it. I believe he's basically standing by the machine counts and saying there's no problem and there's no reason to have a hand count, and which actually it doesn't really matter whether he thinks there's a reason or not, because there are legal provisions for hand counts for hand counts to be provided under the recount laws. And that's what Barbara Gail Jacobson had filed for and was prepared to pay for. So whether he thinks it's necessary or not is it is necessary because the law requires it. You might consider it necessary for that reason, although he seems kind of unimpressed by the law in a number of areas.
Right, and in his comments to Brad Friedman, he's made it clear that he thinks that Brad and other election protection activists are crazy and are somehow paranoid, and they are looking at these lapses in security in the darkest possible way, and he seems to say that that glass is not only half full, but it's overflowing with honest election workers who could never be corrupted.
And he told Brad on the telephone, when Brad was talking with him about the voting machine sweepovers, that for anyone to mess with the machines would require that they be willing to commit a felony, and he said, and that would rule out most of our poll workers.
Well, and
most was an interesting word to have in that sentence.
but even that is, that's not consistent with his duties and responsibilities as a registrar of voters.
Absolutely not.
It's not up to him to say, well, I can trust my people, therefore I don't have to inspect their work or check on the seals or, do anything to ensure that, that level of trust, I'm sorry, is not what we expect from a government employee who's in charge of the most important fundamental process in our alleged democracy.
You're absolutely right, and that it's even admitted by the ROV's office, I don't remember if this was Haas himself or one of the other people in the office, that there are over 100 instances of the paperwork that's the chain of custody of the documentation for the seals on the voting machines not being in order for this
mm-hmm.
one election.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a mess, frankly, all over the place. And fortunately, Brad really is the one who kind of sounded the alarm about it right after the election, and so some of us were able to hop on it and immediately start getting the word out. I want to point something out, which is that there have been these same sleepovers in a lot of places in California and around the country.
Sure.
And people have asked why we're focused on San Diego. And the reason is that was the only, that Busby-Bilbray race, specifically the runoff that happened between Busby and Bilbray on June 6th,
right,
was the only federal election that happened in this election cycle anywhere in the country, I believe. And so it's the one that had the most reason to be messed with.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it, just to put the political frame on it, this was a must-win for the Republicans, and they committed over $5 million to try to hold on to this seat. They certainly advised Bill Bray on how to use immigration as a wedge issue. They flew in over 100 staffers from Washington in the week before the election, as we heard Mimi Kennedy say, talking about the effort they did to maximize the absentee ballots that were submitted for the Republican candidate. So it's very clear this was not expected to be a cakewalk, and the Republicans threw everything they had at it. And to say that they wouldn't bend the rules or break the law or commit a felony, Michael Haass, under these circumstances is just frickin' naive.
It certainly flies in the face of reality, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we know way too much to say that, and you know, basically we're calling them on it, and we're drawing a line in the sand, as Brad has said. And if we don't stop this now, we're going to see it everywhere in November. The same kind of thing where the law is just completely ignored by the Registrar of Voters. And so I would really encourage people who live in jurisdictions where there were voting machine sleepovers to start similar kinds of things happening there. Use the information that we've put together in this situation, the research that we've done, and the resources that we've developed to take on the Registrar of Voters in their own counties, because we really need to stop this everywhere.
Yeah. The other thing that it speaks to, Emily, is that we need a state standard for many of these election procedures and post-election procedures, because there are so many gray areas that, you know, just the one you pointed out is the cost of a hand count. 14 cents a vote in Orange County, the quote in San Diego, is upwards of a buck a vote. And when that is not standardized, when the process is not uniform, we end up with a situation like Florida in 2000, which created the opportunity for the Supreme Court of the United States to rule 5-4, that because there was no uniformity across the state, they could dispense with counting all the votes. And this is a situation that we can't allow to continue. And we know that HAVA, the Help America Vote Act, was a very cynical approach to sell these electronic voting machines, and not to really standardize or create uniform processes and regulations across different jurisdictions. And that's something I think is sorely needed, not only in California, but nationwide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your command of this information is impressive. I really appreciate how much you stay on top of this issue. And in California, with the possibility of getting Deborah Bowen in November as Secretary of State, I think if she gets in, we'll see some really important reforms happen. But what voting machines are we using again to vote on the election in which she's running?
Yes, that's the right question. Let's take a call here. We have Chris in Salinas. Chris, thanks for joining us. It's Peter B. with Emily Levy.
Yes, I just wanted to ask, where is our Secretary of State on this issue? I've emailed him several times, or his office, and they won't even return an email. And I was just wondering if you know what statements, where he stands on this issue. This is a very important issue, and where's our Secretary of State?
Well, I'll turn to Emily, because I have heard zip, zilch, zed from Bruce McPherson on this.
He's been mighty quiet, and he did issue mitigations after the what's known as the Harry Hursty hack showed how hackable these optical scan machines were, the Diebold machines that were used, the exact machines that were used in San Diego. He did issue mitigations that were not followed by Michael Haass, the ROV in San Diego, during this election. As far as we know, nothing has been done about that. And McPherson's top computer expert, David Jefferson, has come out and said that these machines are really dangerous and hackable and shouldn't be used. And McPherson is not showing up in the way that his job calls upon him to do.
Yeah. Chris, any response, even an auto reply?
Well, I just want to say that it's not if Deborah Bowen gets in, she will get in. and I'm voting for her.
Well, I hope you're right, and I don't expect that the Republicans, you know, have a whole lot of traction this November, but Schwarzenegger could have some coattails, and it'll be interesting to see just how well Deborah Bowen is able to get her message out. She didn't have much money in the primary, and I was pleased to see that she defeated Senator Ortiz, who is a competent legislator but did not get this issue very clearly. And so, you know, we've got a lot of work to do, Chris. I certainly support Deborah Bowen because we've had numerous conversations with her, and she does understand these issues, and I believe she's committed to election integrity and will work to do that.
Okay, you take it easy.
All right, Chris, thank you very much.
All right.
Emily, we're going to take a break, and when we return, I want to turn to the issues that Attorney Paul Leto is trying out and the announcement that will be made on Monday. So we'll pick up there as we continue in just a moment. There's still room for your phone call. If you have a question or comment, you can call me at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Puts you right through toll-free to the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Tom Hartman.
Resolution 1440 explicitly said that no force could be brought to bear on Iraq until either Hans Blix or Muhammad al-Baradei, one of the two weapons inspectors, had indicated that there were either weapons of mass destruction or evidence of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And only then could force be used against Iraq. And that never happened.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
So here's George Bush saying that we took out Saddam Hussein because he wouldn't let in the weapons inspectors. And it was Bush who pulled the weapons inspectors out.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Good afternoon. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540. The Gilroy Garlic Festival in full swing, running through Sunday. Expect much then heavier than normal traffic in the vicinity of Christmas Hill Park and also to the 101. Scotts Valley, Graham Hill Road at Lockwood, accident clearing now on the right shoulder. Santa Cruz checking in. Felton Empire Road at Empire Grade Road. It's a tree blocking half of the roadway there. The Highlander Hybrid with an EPA estimated 33 miles per gallon in the city, just one of nine Toyotas to get 30 miles per gallon or more. Check out Highlander Hybrid at your Toyota dealer today. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540.
Show continues. I'm glad you're listening wherever you happen to be, and you can drop me an email, Peter at peterbcollins.com. Always happy to hear from you. We continue.
continue our conversation with Emily Levy. She is an activist, part of the California Election Protection Network. We're talking about the disputed outcome in District 50 in Southern California, mostly related to the process, and we've been discussing those issues. We'll go to your calls here in just a moment, 888-5-PETER-B, if you'd like to join this chat. And Emily, I just wanted to give you an opportunity to give people contact information, and I understand that you do social change workshops and individual coaching in addition to working on behalf of the rest of us.
That's right. It's really important to me that all of those people who are listening and aren't listening to your show and are fed up with the way things are going right now but think, I don't know what I can do about it. What can one person do? Find a way to get active. Because really the question, what can one person do, is irrelevant because there are millions of us already doing things. So it's a matter of how can I join in? And that's maybe a less intimidating way to ask. So I try to help people figure out how it makes sense for them to join in.
And you want to give us a website or an email where people
can
find out more?
My website, I admit, is quite outdated because I've been working on emergency situations. In the
oh, so is mine. Don't worry.
But I can be reached at Juice for Justice.
Okay, Juice for Justice at
baymoon.com.
And that's J-U-I-C-E, in case people...
And then the word for, F-O-R.
Yeah. Juice for Justice at baymoon.com. So we...
And the website for the CA50 Action Group is nosleepovers.org.
Oh, that's cool. I haven't been there.
And it's a new website. It's just been up for a week or two, and we're adding things as we're able. And one of the things you can do there is go to our store and order merchandise that says, "Where did your e-voting machine sleep last night?" Have a picture of a voting machine in pajamas resting on a couch.
Oh, that's cute.
And let's see. What else do we want to make sure to talk about here? Bradblog.com is the best place to go for to stay updated on this issue, and every few days at least there's something posted there about what's going on in San Diego.
Even as Brad tries to take a break, he continues to post.
Yes, and I've been blogging for him as well.
Yes, you have.
A few other people.
So, Attorney Paul Leto flew in from Washington State and is on the scene there. We talked to him in San Diego the other day.
Great.
Tell us about the legal challenge that will be filed.
Well, what we'll be announcing on Monday is the filing of what's called an election contest, and my understanding is that that's under the federal law and could result in a judge ordering a hand count of the paper ballots and paper audit trails in the election.
And build the federal government instead of...
I'm not certain about that. I certainly hope that that's the answer, that it would either be... the cost would either be borne by the county or by the federal government, and not being an attorney, I'm not sure of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's one of the strategies we're using. We're also trying to really get the word out within San Diego and around the country. There's been a lot of national attention to this. Brad's been on Lou Dobbs and on
Catherine Cryer.
Catherine Cryer on Court TV, and there has been really a lot of national attention, and we need more. You know, there's always... these efforts are very expensive, and I would really love to see some contributions for the legal costs, which can be made at Velvet Revolution, of which Brad from Brad Blog is one of the founders.
Right, and it's important. Velvetrevolution.us.
Yes,
yeah.
That's right.
And I did it. It takes about 45 seconds to make a contribution, so I want to encourage our listeners who are in a position to do so to help the effort out. Back to your phone calls now. Eugene in Santa Cruz, thanks for calling. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter, how's it going?
Not bad.
Seems to me the way that we change things in a democracy is by voting. So this issue has been on the table for about 4 or 5 years now. And, I mean, the only way we can change anything is to be able to vote. And if the voting machines are in question, how can we ever be sure that our votes are counted? I just don't see a way we can... I don't see how we can change it. And, I mean, if your party was the one... if you were a Republican... and your party was in office, really wouldn't, and everything that you wanted was getting passed, you really wouldn't want to do anything about it or be as concerned about it, say, as a Democrat would.
Okay, that explains the Republicans, but the Democrats don't seem to be too amped up about this.
I want to disagree with you, actually, a little bit there, because I know of a lot of Republicans who are really upset by this, because there are a lot of people of every political stripe who believe in integrity. That's not something, I mean, that's not something that Democrats have a corner on the market of, and I'm not even sure they're always in the market.
Yeah, well, being upset about it and actually doing something about it in the face of the other Republicans that want to stay in power, I don't really see, I don't know. I mean, I don't really think I feel kind of helpless in the situation. I don't feel like there's anything I can do about it.
Don't accept that. You can go to Brad Blog. You can send emails. You can go to your precinct this November and be a poll watcher. There are a lot of different things you can do to preserve the integrity of elections. And, you know, the more people who tip off our leaders that you know and care about this, the more likely they are to do something about it. We've seen that with Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky of Chicago, who took the unusual step at the Take Back America conference in June of not only acknowledging the work of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and that the Ohio election was stolen, in her opinion, but apologizing to election integrity activists for not taking them seriously enough. So it's starting to gain some traction, Eugene, and I'd like to see you get on board.
How much traction is it going to gain between now and the time, maybe possibly one of the most important elections in American history is about to take place.
Mm-hmm. You can help it gain more traction. And something that I want to say about that is that even when you take a small action, you may never know what the effects of it are. An example is there's a woman that runs, just she sends out emails with issues that she thinks are important to her to a small group of people, and sometimes they forwarded them to their friends. And one person who got one of her emails early on after the 2004 election was a man by the name of Richard Hayes Phillips, who is a statistician who decided on his own to take on doing a statistical analysis looking for irregularities in the Ohio election on a precinct-by-precinct basis. He undertook that. He started going on the radio. A friend of mine heard him on the radio, and all she did was call me and said, "Hey, Emily, I know you're wanting to get involved in what happened in the election. This guy sounds like he could need help." I became his project coordinator, and then there's a lot of things that have followed from that, and our work ended up being the basis of the Moss versus Bush challenge in the Ohio Supreme Court. So you can talk about that Richard has done a lot and that I've done a lot, but in that story there are at least two people that we know of who did really small things. One was send an email to friends, and one was call a friend and tell them something they heard on the radio.
Yeah, Eugene, thanks for the call, and you could work for Deborah Bowen in Santa Cruz County. That's one idea for you. Thanks for listening. Now to Dan in San Pablo, California. Hi, Dan, you're on the air.
Hi. I wanted to say hello to Emily, and I also work in the California Election Protection Network, and I wanted to make some comment about another aspect of the sleepover danger. The DRE machines, in addition to the optical scan, there were two varieties. The DRE machines are particularly vulnerable since they can be accessed in such a way to pollute their bootloader. That's the most fundamental primitive level of the machine, and it can be contaminated in an undetectable way that will change that machine's behavior from then on out in future elections. And it can cause that machine to pollute any card that is inserted and removed from it in order to collect the ballots, and then that card is taken to central headquarters and it's plugged into the main tabulator, and it can transfer the miscreant program that way. So you can take just one machine of that nature and compromise it. No one will ever know, and it will start changing elections thereafter. And that is the particular danger that was the subject of the McPherson security study, and the reason that absolute security control is essential in these elections. Otherwise, they are completely unverifiable.
Yeah. Dan, I thank you for that, and I wish we had more time. Feel free to drop me an email with some information, and maybe we'll invite you on the show to talk further.
I'd love to. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thank you, Dan. And, Emily, we're almost out of time with you. I want to thank you again, and do stay in touch. If you could send us an email with the news release on Monday, we will stay on top of this, and this is something we care a lot about.
E-voting may be an unmitigated disaster, but we're making sure it isn't an unlitigated disaster.
Ooh, I like that.
Thanks for having me on the show, and thanks for all your work on this topic.
You are welcome. Thank you, Emily. This is Peter B. I got to hit the road here. Trigger's ready. We're going to saddle up and head off into the sunset. I'll talk to you Monday.
Happy trails to you.